of a tailored experience for each customer. With extensive experience in residential and investment property loans, we are the mortgage broking firm that will help you secure your financial freedom. The ethos at Concise Finance is to fully engage with clients to get it right the first time. If you're looking for your next property or to better your interest rates, call one of the team from Concise Finance on 1300 978 357. Station sponsor.
This is Your Sound.
Your community.
Alive 90.5.
And now on Alive 90.5, here's the latest news brought to you by Pace, transforming places since 1978.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Shannon Kirkwood. Minister for Aged Care Richard Colbeck insists the federal government has at no stage limited resources for the aged care sector during the pandemic. The minister has faced a grilling today at the Senate's COVID-19 inquiry, where he's admitted mistakes have been made. But he's continued the government's line that it's almost impossible to prevent the virus getting into aged care when there is widespread community transmission. Currently, there are 1,732 active cases in aged care settings in Victoria, the nation's worst hit jurisdiction. Responding to a question about staffing in aged care, Senator Colbeck was adamant the government has always offered adequate support.
We have not limited the resource to any provider who had a COVID-19 outbreak. We've put every resource that we've possibly had available to us to ensure that they have the capacity to deal with the outbreak. It's not been a matter of limitation.
Please come forward and get tested. That's Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews' plea to any Victorian experiencing symptoms of COVID-19 as the state records 179 new cases and 9 deaths. It's the first time in 5 weeks the state's daily case number is below 200. Mr. Andrews says while rates appear to be on the decline, this is not the time for complacency.
There's no way that we can assume that this is over. It is an ultra marathon and we're not halfway yet. And we just have to keep pushing forward to make sure that we drive these numbers down even further.
Elsewhere, New South Wales has recorded one case in the 24 hours to 8 p.m. last night. More than 32,500 tests were conducted during that same period. It's the state's lowest daily tally since July the 2nd. There are 111 active cases in the state. A report by a leading global agribusiness bank has talked up the prospects of a Northern Australia cotton industry over the next decade. Rabobank's 10-year outlook says opportunity awaits Australia on the export front in the coming decade, with cotton growing potential across Northern Australia, where water supply is mostly plentiful. Cotton is a thirsty crop, and irrigators in New South Wales have been accused of stealing water for their crops to the detriment of other agricultural pursuits. Rabobank commodity analyst Charlie Clack has told National Radio News new water retention infrastructure would be key to a Northern Australia cotton industry.
Without that social licence, without the society's approval and the good practices adopted by the industry, etc., really this expansion will be very, very challenging. So that's a really key aspect.
Moving overseas now, Joe Biden is outlining his vision for the US presidency in what is his biggest speech of his almost 5 decades in public service. Biden will accept the Democratic presidential nomination to challenge President Donald Trump in the November 3rd US election. The speech comes on the final night of the party's coronavirus-modified national convention. Biden heads into the general election leading in opinion polls over Mr. Trump, who will accept the Republican nomination for a second White House term at his own convention next week. Turning to sport now, Elise Perry has been included in an 18-player squad for Australia's limited overs series against New Zealand. Perry has overcome a hamstring injury which forced her to miss Australia's victorious T20 World Cup final against India in March. It will be the Australian women's first hit out since the T20 World Cup. It is scheduled to go ahead at North Sydney Oval on September the 27th. That date may change due to the pandemic.
National Radio News is supported by the Judith Nielsen Institute for Journalism and Ideas and the Community Broadcasting Foundation, cbf.org.au.
And now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5, brought to you by Concise Finance, your local mortgage broker. It's currently 18 degrees, our top for the day. Some showers coming across Sydney at the moment from the mountains, so you can expect some isolated showers during the afternoon. And it is windy. Winds from the west up to 40 kilometres an hour, teeming northwesterly, and going down to 25 kilometres an hour later in the evening. The sun will set tonight at 29 minutes to 6 and back up again at 28 minutes past 6 tomorrow morning. Forecast for the weekend and Monday. Saturday, we have mostly sunny, 6 to 16. Sunday, mostly sunny again, 6 to 17. And back to work week Monday, mostly sunny, 5 to 17. The moon is a waxing crescent with first quarter next Wednesday.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Just the one incident to report at the moment. Kingsgrove, M5 motorway east, westbound off-ramp to King George's Road. A truck breakdown. That started earlier today. The westbound traffic is affected. Allow extra travel time and exercise caution.
Because that's all caution.
Caution, fear. We'll talk about that.
Well,
6 minutes past one.
6 minutes past one, and we are directing online with Daniel Tosso from Taiwan. Daniel, we don't want to waste your time, so I have a few more questions before Darren he start digging into his one. So we spoke about obstacles, successes, and failures. Now, I'd like to ask you, how do you identify the difference between successful and unsuccessful people?
It was very easy. You've got to start to pay attention to people's language. You listen to what they say, and then you've got to watch closely to what they do. Now, one of the things that I've learned about successful people is that successful people are positive. They're very happy. They're very optimistic. They believe things are going to turn out okay. Successful people also take responsibility, and they say things like, if it is to be, it's up to me. They take ownership. They never complain. They never come up with excuses, and they never try to explain themselves. They're also visionaries, and as we were saying to Michael before, they look out into the future. And what we know is the person who can look out to the future the furthest is more likely to make better decisions in the present, because they understand the consequences and the sequences from each decision made, and they look out into the future. And this is one of the biggest predictors of success, and it's called a long-time perspective.
That's very interesting.
The successful people also focus on excellence, Mario.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in school systems today, everybody gets a ribbon just for participating. But in the business world, you either win and get paid or you don't. And so they focus on excellence. And every company that is at the top today has a goal to be the best. And so when you hear people talking about being the best, these people are focusing on excellence. So that's how to identify the successful. The unsuccessful people, what they do is they blame. They constantly ask themselves, who can I blame? Who can I sue? who can accept responsibility for my mistakes?
But can
they
you
come up with excuses?
Yes.
Yeah, please.
No, but can you draw the parallel as well? Who's going to be successful? Who's going to succeed or fail now during the COVID pandemic thing, you know, happening around us?
The person who makes the decision. Most people.
Can you
don't
elaborate
make decisions
who makes decision? Who's making decision for in New South Wales? That's a premier, but you know, is that what you're referring the government or who?
I'll give you a wonderful story. Melbourne's in lockdown, and one of my clients rang me the other day, and they said, "Daniel, we've got our results in from the financial year." And I said, "Well, tell me about them." They said, "We're $1 million up this year compared to last year. Our results are 35% up in the month of July than they were in June. And we're killing it in the marketplace. We're winning and our competitors are failing." And I said, "Well, what makes the difference between you and your competitor?" And they said, "Daniel, in a time of pandemic, there's two things that you can control. You can control your attitude. That's 100% under your control. You can choose to focus on winning or losing. You can focus on everything that's right or everything that's going wrong. And you can control your level of actions. So two things you can control: your attitude, and that's focusing on what you want, and your level of activity." And these people are making 6,000 telephone calls every month in comparison to the people who are failing, who are only making 2,000. Same market, same marketplace, attitude and action levels are different. That's the decision you've got to make.
That's interesting. Darren, you want to continue?
Oh, just thinking that the idea of excellence and being excellent also brings in the opposite idea or complementary or associated of fear. And some people will actually have fear of being excellent for whatever reason. How
How would you respond to that idea that the two are linked, Daniel?
Well, I think you've got to have a look at the importance of the situation. A couple of years ago, Mario's son needed to have an operation. And Mario would have had to make a choice between a few different surgeons. And if you went along and you met a surgeon and said, I can do brain surgery and I'm okay at brain surgery, you'd start to scratch your head and you think, you're okay, I'm not going to let you touch my son. True. But if you went and found the best, and the best said to you, I can ensure that your son gets through this 100%, I believe in what we do and how we do it, what happens is your level of confidence and conviction goes up in that other person. So what you've got to be, you've got to focus on excellence. You have to be the best. Nobody wants to work with the second best surgeon. You want the best. Human nature is.
And I'm thinking, I often think in different ways, and Mario knows, and sometimes gems will come out, sometimes we just move on. But for someone to be excellent, they need to conquer their fears. And so in a way, you could say that conquering fears is contagious, and having people look at the optimistic future of the outcomes that they all want to achieve.
Well, with fears, they prevent you from thinking. So what happens is we're all presented with the stimulus, and that could be a business opportunity. You might have the opportunity to close a $1 million deal, and you might see that $1 million deal. What impacts you after that is your personality trait. And some people have a fear of being taken advantage of. So they go, here's a $1 million deal, but maybe the person might take advantage of me. Some of them have a fear of rejection. They think, well, if I actually present to this person, maybe they're going to reject me and say no. Some of them also have a fear of losing stability. What if I did take on this $1 million business and my business actually grew? Can I handle it? And then finally, they might say, well, there's a $1 million deal, but what if I screw it up? What if I make a mistake? So these four common ideas get in the way and they evoke an emotional state. And if that emotional state hijacks the individual, what happens is their brain shuts down and they stop thinking. And then what happens is they take action without thinking, which always precedes failure. So with emotional intelligence, what we encourage is people to regulate those fears effectively, to put a plan into place to manage the fear so that you actually stop and think. Rather than being stimulus response, you stop and you think. And once you think, then you can decide the best action to take, all things considered. And this is what successful people do. You've got to overcome your fears, but first of all, you've got to be aware of which one impacts you.
What's the best way that anyone who's starting out with business, and we might bring in Cameron to the conversation here, what's the best way for someone to identify what may be the fear that is currently unknown?
One of the tools that I use with business people is called a DISC assessment. And the DISC assessment gives you an insight into your personality style. It gives you an insight into how you approach problems and challenges. Now, in every business, you're going to face problems and challenges. And depending on how you move towards or away from that will determine how successful you are. So for me, with my DISC style, I move towards problems with a very competitive mindset. I want to win. I want to overcome the obstacle. But some people approach it in a very unobtrusive way. They go, here's a problem or a challenge, but I really don't want to get in the way of other people. And so we have to understand that to start with. And that will determine what role you should play in the business. So in business building, we say you've got to get the right people on the bus. You've got to get the wrong people off the bus. And then you've got to get them into the right seats. So if you're the type of person who's very unobtrusive when it comes to solving problems and challenges, you've got to consider the type of business that you're in. So I'd be doing that at the start. Remember, all businesses, you have to influence people to a certain way of thinking. And so when it comes to meeting with people, you've got to have a look at how you deal with your social fears. Some people are very enthusiastic and they're like a cheerleader. But what happens is you might act like a cheerleader, but that can also come across as very self-serving. So you've got to have a look at how you influence people. The people who are very enthusiastic tend to want more recognition, but their greatest fear is rejection. On the opposite side of the scale, some people are very reserved, and they come into a negotiation, they're very reserved, they don't say too much, they don't show too much emotion. But what happens is they also come across cold because they're not demonstrating the emotion. So when I look at people's positions that they should be in, I always go to the DISC model and say, well, what's your DISC style and how can you build a business around you? rather than trying to shove a square peg in a round hole.
Sounding very
so
good.
So that's how I'd do it.
So Daniel, I know that Cameron was nodding his head talking about disc. So Cameron, do you know your disc style and does that resonate with you? And I know you've got to go soon, so I just thought some parting comments from yourself.
Yeah, well, I know that I'm an I, so extroverted, people-centred person, very heavily, and have always, you know, known that kind of thing. But I think one of the things that resonated with me most about what he was saying was I let the fear of not failure, but the fear of what failure represents get in the way of me really take hold of my business. And I think it's really interesting. Do you mind if I guess share?
Yeah, just briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've kind of been considered as a smart person when I was a kid, and I've always tried to live up to that expectation. But for me, it's not necessarily about failure. I like failure because I get to learn from my failures. But for me, if my business fails, I'm fearful that represents me not being as smart as I think I am or as other people think I am. And I guess that thing has resonated with me, stuck with me for this whole process of me starting this business. And I guess, Daniel, I wanted to hear what you thought about that.
I had a similar conversation with a customer not long ago, and they said, Daniel, what if you fail? What about your reputation? And I laughed and I said, what reputation? So for me, what I believe is there's no failure, there's only feedback. And what my daughter says, and she's just 7.5, she says, Dad, milk is the breakfast of champions. I say, okay, what does that mean? She said, it's okay to fail because it's the most important thing. You get to learn. Now, what I know about successful people, they say double your rate of failure and you'll double your rate of success. So I accept that failure is a prerequisite of a success. I'm a former Australian champion athlete. I've competed at the Extreme Games. And I'll tell you what, I probably fell over 99% of the times when I was training, but the 1% of times that I stood up, I became the best of the best. So it's a prerequisite of success.
Daniel, you know, that is excellent. Look, we'll take a short break. You can have a sip of water, breather, and we'll come back in a few minutes. You're listening to Live 90.5 FM Business Insights with Mario and Darren, and our guest in studio, live online from Taiwan, Daniel Tolson. We'll take a short break. Thank you for listening to Live 90.5 FM.
Alive 90.5.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine. So happy together. So happy together.
radio station, Alive 90.5, keeping you up to date with local issues and events in the hills, Parramatta and Cumberland areas.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
The Hills area has one of the most beautiful cemeteries in the Sydney region. Castlebrook Memorial Park at Rouse Hill provides the perfect resting place for your loved ones with manicured lawns and beautifully tended gardens. They cater for people from all backgrounds and you can talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
In 20 metres, turn left.
You don't always like doing what you're told.
I said left.
But driving in floodwater, you know better than that.
Dangerous conditions ahead. Calculating new route.
Even a few centimetres of floodwater can get you into trouble. So stop, turn around, find a safer way.
You have reached your destination safely.
Remember, drive through a flood, you could be gone in a flash. Brought to you by the New South Wales SES and NRMA Insurance. Find out more at stormsafe.com.au.
It's 22 minutes past one, Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Murray and Darren.
Well, Darren, thank you very much, and thank you to all listeners to Alive 90.5, Business Insights with Murray and Darren. And we are truly privileged to have today a guest in studio, world-renowned business coach Daniel Tolson. Wiser number one. As you know, and the pre-COVID situation was a very, very different than we have today. And there was a lot of people there with a glitter, Hollywood style type, you know, the business coaches, you know, great videos, you know, great podcasts, sexy voices, you know, you just need to listen to them. And somehow they disappeared. Why they disappeared? I don't know. It's a magic. It must be. It's a process in life, you know what I mean? Tai Chi, Darwin theory, who knows, who cares, you know. But we have today somebody, not who survived only the COVID, but he helped many people during the COVID. And as Darren and I interviewing Daniel Tolson, we learned the new insights, and we're inviting you to visit the website, alive905.com.au, today after 6 p.m. There's going to be a podcast with interview with Daniel Tolson. Daniel, I started something before that we ended the first hour of our show, fear. And you told us there's two different types of fear. Can you guide us again without screaming, please? Because I'm a senior citizen, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I have that, what's it called? A hearing aid, you know what I mean? So, like,
well, the problem is when everyone screams, it will go silent for a little
bit. Yeah, like, that's
like, the audio just all adjusts.
So, why are we afraid and why people don't admit the fear? Because, you know, as we spoke before, everybody's a big general. Everybody tips, advice, you know, insights, and everybody loves to share them. However, COVID-19 showed that many people are actually afraid of the many things. So their teachings and their insights or tips, they are not great. We want your ones. Talk us about fear. What is the fear? Why are we afraid? How to cure the fear? And, you know, how we can help our listeners.
Well, there's two natural fears. The first one is, and I won't yell again, it's the fear of loud noises. Yeah. And the other one is the fear of falling. Now, everything else is learned along the way. I was working with a gentleman in the UK, a lovely guy, but he just moved out of his house. And I said, why did you move out of your house? And he said, because there's a mouse in my house.
Are you for real?
I'm for real. I said, why did you move out? And he said, because there's a mouse in my house. And I said, how do you know? Did you see it? He said, no, I didn't see it. And I said, well, how do you know there's a mouse there? And he goes, well, I'm certain that I saw the mouse. And anyway, he came to me because he had this phobic response to mice. And what happens is when you have a phobic response, just the thought of seeing the mouse will trigger off the phobia. Now, as we got talking, it was actually a learned response. And I said, well, where did this fear originate in? And he said, Daniel, I remember when I was growing up, and I must have been about 5 years of age, and Mum saw a mouse in the house. She screamed. She jumped up on the chair, and she went hysteric. And he said, I was sitting there watching her, and I thought to myself, oh, this is how you deal with mice and fear. He said, then that night, Mum moved us out of the house. And he said to me, he said, Daniel, oh my God, I've just become like my mother. So what happens is fears are irrational, fears are learned, fears can be passed down through the generations. And we have research that fears can be passed down through the bloodline by up to four generations.
So no way, Mario, really?
Absolutely. Let's go all the way back into your past history and think about where you grew up and what was happening in the world at that stage. What can happen is your grandparents can live in fear. They can pass that fear to your parents. It can skip your generation, then it can end up within your son. And this is well proven that fears can be passed down but skip generations. Now, let me blow your mind on this one. Artificial insemination.
Mm.
Artificial insemination, because you're spreading the gene pool, then what can happen is you might have a child who's been artificially inseminated and all of a sudden it's not your semen, it's somebody else's, and they start to exhibit these fears. They can be passed down through the genealogical bloodline. So here's my point. Your fears are learned.
And that is very interesting. You know, like, I never heard such a thing. I never heard such a thing that, you know, like, it can pass this genetically, the fear. Look, we're all afraid of something. You know, I mean, I have my fears. Don't take me wrong. You know, I mean, but, you know, as old I am, you know, through experience and to the life experience, you know, like, I'm accepting that there's a consequence. Is that tomorrow, it's nobody promised. Doesn't exist. But, you know, in daily life, we're combating fears. And, you know, it's hard to go to the psychiatrist, psychologist, or somebody like yourself and talk about fears. How do you find people open about fears? Do you find this because they say to Daniel, I'm afraid of the mouse, or they say, Daniel, to conversation? Do people are really struggling to open themselves, to admit, or they will actually take a different stance and they will become more like, I don't know, aggressive or more like, you know, I'm confident and, you know, projecting something in the public that different than they actually fears that run them down?
The fear, the problem with it comes from our culture. And in Australia, help has become a dirty word. And the society says that if you put up your hand and ask for help, that's a sign of weakness.
True.
That is not the truth.
Well, okay.
It is not the truth.
No, I know it's not the
truth. Putting your hand up.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Putting your hand up and asking for help is a sign of strength. And all strong people ask for help. The reason why weak people don't ask for help is they're afraid that people are going to criticize them. And we get back to that social rejection and that social ridicule. So my job, and this is what makes me the best, is it's my job when I work with my clients is to create what's called an unconditional positive regard. It's when they can come to me and they can tell me things about their life with no fear of judgment whatsoever. And this is why people can't talk about the other fears, because the other person can't create a safe space for them to talk without feeling judged.
Well, this is very interesting, if I may, Darren, say this one. When I wrote in my very first book, you know, very first book, and I was a terrible student, you know what I mean? Like, but I wrote a book, and I, before even start writing, when I just shared that news, Daniel, with a few people around me, which do not exist anymore, and, you know, I mean, for some reason, but it's okay. And when I said I'm going to publish the book, you know, I've been ridiculed. But I've been ridiculed by the person I never expected going to be, was my mother. That was the one. Who you think you are, people going to laugh to you. You never read nothing. You are the, what would that be? D student, you know what I mean? Like a literal D student. A, B, C, D, yeah. I'll be D student, yeah. You know what I mean? You want to write a book on a language which is not your one. And I have a doubt I should do this, because it's like, should I avoid public humiliation? Regardless, I did, you know, I mean, I'd be public humiliated. But tell me, why that always comes from the people you should get more support? I'm talking about my experience, so it's my mom. Is that correct? Or am I, you know, that's going to be first one who's going to judge you, and those ones who's going to support you most?
Have I told you the story about the crab in the bucket, Mario?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this one.
Okay.
Well, Chinese fishermen, they're very smart, and they went out and they were catching crabs. And when they started catching crabs, they would put them in a cray pot. And what they discovered was when they put the crab in the cray pot, the crab with its little pincers could put its pincer up on the edge and pull itself out of the cray pot and scuttle away to freedom. And so what they started to do was they started to tie up their pincers, but that was very slow and they were always getting their fingers bitten. And one day what happened was the Chinese fisherman put two crabs in a bucket, and he sat there and he watched them, and they didn't climb out of the bucket. And then what he saw was one crab tried to climb out of the bucket and the other one pulled it back down. And they said, this is crab mentality. And what crab mentality means is, if I can't have it, neither can you. And they pull you back down into the bucket.
Well, this is a real, please, Darren, please.
It also reminds me of the monkey experiment they've done as well, where monkeys climb up to get food, but then they spray water, and then the monkeys learn that the learned response is, don't go up for the food because you're actually going to get some sort of penalty. And again, so it's learned, and then they actually bring in monkeys who haven't been in there, and they learn the same thing, even though they know nothing about. It's just the fear of what might happen, learned through the generations, like we've been talking before.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Look, I'm just flabbergasted now. Really, I am. Because I always try to understand, why will never get support to those who are close to you, but instead of you getting the support from people like, you know what I mean, who you don't expect, you know what I mean? And the fear and that judgment creates something else, creates toxic environment. And I truly believe that a toxic environment exists, Daniel. Do you agree with me or not? And if you do, can you elaborate with us, please?
Well, a good friend of mine, his name's Jesus. He lived in Nazareth a couple of thousand years ago.
Oh, good one, yes. Oh, just like...
And him and his... Yeah? Him and about a dozen of his mates wrote a book.
Yeah.
And in the book, it says a prophet has no honour in his own land.
Sorry, say again on English.
A prophet has no honour in his own land. And what you'll find is that the people closest to you won't support you. And they'll say things to you like, I don't want you to get hurt. I don't want you to feel let down.
Darren, and I nodding head, you know, happy. Sorry interrupting you, like, you know, yes, yes, please continue.
I want you to be happy with what you've got. You know, don't set yourself up for failure. You know, don't put your family at risk. And what they do, and it's like our friend said on the radio the other day, he said, what you project, you collect. So what they do is they take their unresolved fears and they project them onto you. It has nothing about you. And this is what you've got to remember. Other people's fears, other people's opinions have no reality in your world. People can only see you for who they are. So when somebody says, oh, that person will never succeed, the belief is about themselves. And their belief is, I could never succeed doing that. But you've got to remember, you are not that other person. Your DNA can be stretched from where you are to the sun and back 300 times. You have more neurological connections inside of your body, which is your ability to think and achieve, than all the grains of sand on all the beaches on the planet. And you are unlimited potential. But what happens, Mario, is we want to fulfill people's expectations. And so when people say to us, you know, don't risk your money, we then live down to that expectation. And this is the importance of having a coach in your life. The coach says, no, you go out and get what you want. And what the coach does is he has a higher level of belief in you than the other people's disbelief in you. And what happens is the most powerful belief wins. And you mentioned, why aren't these other coaches around at the moment? Because they did not believe they could succeed and get through the crisis.
Yeah, but they're walking on fire. You know what I mean? And, yeah. You know, it's they walk on a fire, they fly. Before we take a short break, Daniel, thank you for sharing this with us. And I just want to share something else. Like, I truly believe that parents should be the best coaches of their children. And, you know, I was, you know, just as you speak now and you talk about these fears and toxic environment, self-beliefs and the judgments of other ones, you know my story, Daniel, knows, so like I'm not going to go far away, but I do remember, you know, when the war started and the very first day my father ran away, he was the biggest hero till that day for me, and then disappeared. And there was no, repercussions in terms like to say, look, I'm sorry, you know what I mean? I left you, and in all my life I was giving you, you know, excuses, actually, you know what I mean? I couldn't achieve what you achieved. Instead of this, we'll judge. But when it comes to the crunching time, most of people disappeared. Same as the business coaches. Some business coaches are good, some they're better, but there is only one, Daniel Tolson, who is with us live from Taiwan, which is now, I believe, about 11:30, I will say. Can I guess 11:30?
You're spot on.
Well, I'm a psychic, you know what I mean? That's what it is. That's the next one. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Line 90.5 FM.
Business Insights with Mario and Darren. And thanks to Darren, we have the live Daniel Tosson from Taiwan, and a different technology used because Daniel and Darren, they are both magicians in different fields. One is technical, one is a business coach, and you want to stay with us. You will love this because Daniel Tosson is going to answer more questions when we come back. Thank you for listening.
Alive 90.5.
To purchase your new home? Sick of attending open homes? Tired of being beaten at auction? It's time to put the buying experts to work for you. Hi, I'm Michael Savartis from Real Property Buyers, and our job is to take the hassle out of purchasing property. Our independent team will do the house hunting for you and make sure you buy the right property at the right price. So no matter whether it's your first home or your forever home, visit Real Property Buyers .com.au and let us take the stress out of purchasing your new home.
Real Property Buyers are proud sponsors of Alive 90.5.
It really hurts us when a loved one passes on, but it's nice to know that their memory will be well respected in their final resting place. Castlebrook Memorial Park has looked after the families of loved ones for over 50 years. You can visit them and talk to their family service advisors almost any day from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Their website is castlebrook.com.au. Castlebrook Memorial Park is at Windsor Road, Rouse Hill, and is a proud sponsor of Alive 90.5.
Around the world.
Around the globe.
Streaming live 24/7.
Alive905.com.au.
www.radio.com.au.
Twenty minutes to two, Alive at 90.5, Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
You're listening to Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren. Did I repeat this properly? Yes, okay. We talk about fear, about judgment, about failure, about obstacles, and all of this can be sorted out. You can solve these problems. And you don't need to have the flashy Hollywood business coaches. Well, I must say, Daniel Tolson appeared on many TV shows, many radio stations across the globe. And Daniel, well, I do have the question for you. You know, it's quite important now. COVID-19 separated people by the borders and by the air, sea, land, and everything else. However, it was given opportunity to us to work online. Now, why the COVID-19 didn't stop you to work online? Because you did have, and you still have, many, many hundreds of students, and I must say even thousands of people being online with you on a coaching sessions. And I do remember before the COVID-19 strike and be border stopped, I do remember you fly in Malaysia despite the COVID to help the people run the seminar and the webinar, sorry, workshop. But COVID-19 actually stopped it. You know what I mean? The border's been closed, shut down, and then we start using the technology called the Zoom. Now, many businesses, they didn't go forward with the technology and then don't using online presence in like yourself. Tell us more, why the people failing to connect with the customers or clients around the globe using technology, and why are you doing this every day?
Well, I was told in 2017 that I'd never make my business work online. And my mentor told me that. And that's when I changed my mentor, because I had a dream and I wanted to live in Taiwan and I wanted to help people around the world. And I just had to find a way. So in my life, I have a fear of death. I'm afraid of dying. I want to live to 100. So what I do is I take measures to ensure that I'm going to live to 100. I also have a fear of being left behind. I don't want to be last. I want to be first. So that fear pushes me to work hard and find a way to overcome these obstacles. I've also got a fear of embarrassment. So what I do is I tell people my goals, and then I use that guilt and embarrassment to hold me accountable to ensure that I get them. So what I've done is I've embraced technology. I've reinvented myself. But for a lot of people, they're held back because of two fears. First of all, it's the loss of their stability.
What do you mean stability, Daniel? Please, can you just short over this one?
All they've ever done is, let's say they've worked from their office and that's become their comfort zone. And what happens is if you move out of your comfort zone, you've got to start to become uncomfortable. You lose the stability of all what's known.
So true.
And you move into the land of the unknown. So that's the first one. And it's really hard for a lot of people. I was working with a group of people from the UK recently. We had 144 people in my class. And the common fear was that they were afraid of taking on a new relationship. What they wanted a new relationship, but they didn't want to lose their stability. And so what happened was they had become accustomed to being single and living a single life, but they desired a relationship, but they were afraid of losing their autonomy. So what happens, instead of getting what they wanted, they end up just keeping their fears and remain single. And so they had to overcome that. The other one, which is a really big one for a large proportion of our society, is a fear of making a mistake. And when we went to school, like you mentioned before, they write a big D or a big F on your paper and say you're a disaster or you're a failure. And so what we learn is that when we make a mistake, it's psychologically, emotionally painful. And for some people, they spend their whole life avoiding a mistake. They don't want to make a mistake. They want to get everything right, to the point that they don't do anything. And they'd say, well, I'd rather do nothing than do something and make a mistake. And so it's the fear of loss of stability and the fear of making a mistake that is, it's almost disabling. And you give up on your dreams and you give up on your hopes.
Well, I'm just, Darren, you wrote some things down on the paper. You have any questions, or would you like me to? But I prefer you ask some questions now.
Just notes everywhere, and I think recapping what we've gone through in the last 2 hours, and it's coming and close to an end. Yeah, I'd love to be here for a couple more hours. But back to the idea of the blueprint and the goal setting, but mixing that up with then the fears and getting over those fears and making the idea of a success happen is just, yeah, just putting it all together. I'm just wondering if, Daniel, you can help me here in pulling those things together, the ideas about how fear can drive you to excellence and seeking feedback as well. And that can be a fear point as well, that people need feedback, but they don't want it because they're fearful of it.
People are afraid of feedback because they're expecting good news.
Yeah, they're all my notes, Mario, to let you know. I'm just thinking how to pull them all together is probably the question to Daniel.
So, Daniel, why we love to, like as a Darren says, we need to get the feedback about performance. And why are we afraid to get the feedback? You know what I mean? Like, I don't say I like it, every feedback. I don't like it. You know, sometimes I question myself, should I ask for the feedback? But we're all expecting the positive feedback.
Or the red pen.
Red,
some people fear the red pen. I love it.
What's a red pen?
Yeah, well, kind of, if you say you're writing your next manuscript, your next book, and you give it to someone, and it's on paper, and they go, red pen, because they're improving it.
Oh, yeah,
some
I hate
people
that, yes.
Pump, some people, don't like it. For me, I've learnt to like that because that means someone's read it, they're giving me feedback, and that's good.
So, Daniel, I have two questions for you. Feedback, why we don't like a feedback? And secondly, it's related to that feedback because I can see, particularly on LinkedIn, I would say particularly on LinkedIn, there's a lot of their coaches, and everybody has a their blurbs. But personal investment in their education and qualifications, it's sometimes it's a murky because you can't discover, but everybody is using same words, you know what I mean, and same type of the shape of form of the passing that message. But these people don't like to have the feedback as well. So talk us about feedback and the red pen.
Well, first of all, by the time you're age 18, you've heard the word no 148,000 times. Your parent says, no, you can't have a new pair of shoes. No, you can't go out with that boy. No, you can't go out with that girl. And what happens is we've heard no so many times that it's now connected with an emotional pain. And so along with hearing the word no, we hear the word you're wrong. You've made a mistake. You're a bad boy. You're a bad girl. You're going to become a failure. You're going to embarrass your family. And so when we're trying to grow, we all know, and nobody's going to deny this, everybody knows we need feedback to grow. But what happens is when they hear the feedback, it triggers off a whole lifetime of negative emotions. It triggers off anger and fear and sadness and emotional hurt and guilt. And people don't want to feel that. So what they do is they go into avoidance behaviors. Now, there's two types of personalities on this planet. There's the healthy personalities and the unhealthy personalities. The healthy personality says, hit me between the eyes, hit me square, just tell me the truth. Where the unhealthy personality says, I want to hear the truth, but only if you make it sound so wonderful and you never tell me I'm doing anything wrong. And the problem with that is they don't get any feedback, they don't get any new instructions on how to grow. Medically, what happens, their pulse rate goes up by about 40%. Their systolic pressure goes up. Their respiratory rates go up. And when they think they're going to get feedback, they can stay in that state of stress, 40% higher levels of, you know, breathing pulse rates for up to 2 to 4 hours. And that creates stress and it leads to illness. And that's why they want to avoid it.
That's interesting. Leads to illness.
No, I'm just agreeing with you.
That's psychosomatic illness. Psychosomatic illness is where the mind makes the body sick. And what happens is if the media right now can make everybody fear COVID-19, eventually what happens is they get sick and they exhibit the symptoms of COVID-19. They go, oh, I must have it. They must be right. Think about Zyrtex and Clarinase and Clarentine. When we get to September and watch the bus stops shortly, they'll start advertising hay fever. Yes. Everybody will show signs and symptoms of hay fever. Medical students, when they're learning about medicine, they start to exhibit the signs and the symptoms of the diseases that they're studying. So it's a psychological thing.
So may I ask you something, you know, like on that topic, you know, I don't disagree what you're saying about media, because the best radio show is this one, and particularly this interview with Daniel Tolson. But, you know, the media, I said, like, you know, I don't believe the media. I'm not a journalist, and but, you know, I can relate to information being passed into the public. But why is important so much negative information is being in the media, in the mainstream media, because I can see it, like it's all this exclusive news, breaking news, you know, the cluster here, cluster there, we're gonna die, we're gonna do this. And I struggle in literally past 6 months to see anything positive happening on the news, you know what I mean? The fear it is, you know what I mean, that there's a, they're repeating the, you know, the die hard, you know what I mean, from zero to four to five. We are seeing this only for the Christmas. But why, how this influencing this, the terrible media, the news, everything activity, how this media, social media or the mainstream media passing these messages which is negative, why they are so negative and why we are so glued then to TV or radio?
If it bleeds, it leads. And what happens is the only way to stay alive.
Yes, sorry.
If it bleeds, it leads. Now, the only way to stay alive is to not to die. And so built within every single living organism on this planet is the will to survive. And to survive, you've got to avoid death. And so it becomes a hook. They bring you in because it's bleeding and it leads, and then they're hooked. And then eventually what happens is they keep repeating the news. And based on their level of intensity and repetition, that eventually triggers off all these fears, the fear of failure, the fear of making a mistake, the fear of somebody from a different part of the world, of a different skin color, of a different eye color, of a different tonality, depending what they put on their head, what they put on their face. And all of a sudden, we fear. And through fear, you can then control the population.
Interesting.
So we have to learn how to think. And see, at school, and it starts back at school, they don't teach you how to think. They teach you what to think. So if you only know
Can you repeat this one more time? Please, for the sake of me, to just absorb one more time. What did you say in school that don't do, they do?
At school, they teach you what to think. They don't teach you how to think.
Jesus, man.
See, if you think for yourself, you become very powerful. And so at school, they give you a history book. But it's only one account of history, and they say, this is the account of history that we want you to believe and base all your future decisions on. So if they get the programming into you, it'll determine what you believe, what your values are, and how you see the world. But they don't say there's another way to look at it. And through people like one of my mentors, Dr. Edward De Bono, he teaches people how to think, how to make good decisions, how to think laterally. Another one of my mentors, Dr. Tad James, teaches people how to ascend logical levels, how to think outside of the box. See, people say, well, think outside of the box. You can't think outside of the box if you're in the box. So you have to learn new thinking skills. And as a builder has tools to build a house, a coach or a leader or an entrepreneur has tools to think differently. And that's what I empower my clients with, is tools to think differently. Because it's thinking that got you into the problem, but you need a different level of thinking to get you out of the problem.
This is the very first time Darren and I were required. You know, honestly, you know, I mean, we have a different type of guests here. I mean, different personalities, different energies. You know, I mean, we always pump her up, but this is the very first time we're talking. We're both just listening, you know, like we're soaking, you know, I mean, your energy. So before we wind up, you know, I mean, because 2 hours gonna, you know, run it out so quickly. Daniel, how do you help the people around you? Like, do you break them to remake them, or are you just listening? And how do you help them?
Well, the first thing that I do is when I look at people, I say they're not broken. So the problem is people think they've got to be broken to be fixed. What I think of it is an improvement. People come to me because they want to become better. They want different results in their life. They want greater improvements in their business, and they want a transformation. So the first thing I ask, I really ask my clients two questions. The first one is, what is it that you want? And one of the biggest problems in the planet today, there's a billion things that we can have, but people can't even decide upon one thing. So I help my clients determine what their single defining focus is. What is that one thing that they can achieve that will make everything else possible? So I ask them, what do you want? The problem in society today is people will tell you what you don't want. What would you like for dinner? Well, I don't want a hamburger. You still haven't told me what you want. You told me what you don't want. And that's how the mind works. So I ask them, what do you want? So, and then the second question I ask them is, what are you willing to do to achieve that goal? And at this stage, it will tell me if I can work with this person or not. And so I ask them, what do you want? and what's the price that you're willing to pay to achieve that? Are you prepared to move out of the comfort zone? Are you prepared to face your fears? Are you prepared to reinvent yourself? And if you say yes, yes, and yes, then I can help you. But if you say no, I can't help you. So you've got to decide what you want, and you've got to determine the price that you're willing to pay to achieve that goal.
I have a question for you, because we have the 2 minutes before we round up this show. So what are you willing to prepare, and how you can help to our listeners on Live 90.5 who can come today afternoon after 6 p.m. on our website, live905.com.au, and listen to the podcast, and they can capture? What are you willing, Daniel Tolson, to help our, what are you willing to do for our listeners on Live 90.5 and everybody who comes on social media?
Well, my first boss said, Daniel, you've got to learn to put your balls on the line. So what I'm going to do is I'll put together a business stimulus package for you. And the business stimulus package is designed for you to accelerate and multiply your personal results. Now, your reflection, your business is a reflection of you. So when you improve your personal performance, then your business grows. So what I'm going to do, Mario and Darren, is I'm going to take three of your guests through what's called an emotional quotient assessment. And I'm going to show you your unique strengths. I'm going to show you how to regulate your thoughts and feelings more effectively so the stress doesn't hold you back. I'm going to show you personally how to increase your levels of motivation so you can move out of your comfort zone and get what you deserve. I'm also going to show you how to increase your social awareness so you can read people more effectively. Rather than misreading them and making mistakes, you'll read them and you'll make excellent decisions. I'll also show you how to regulate your communication. I'm going to show you how to become a better communicator, because what I know is 99% of problems in business come down to communication errors. And I'm going to show you how to communicate more effectively based on your style. This stimulus package is worth $750 each. I'm going to give away three of those. And my promise is that I'm going to put my balls on the line that you will immediately improve your performance when you spend 90 minutes with me. So it's going to be a 90-minute session. You're going to take an emotional quotient assessment. It's worth $750. And then I'm going to show you how to accelerate and multiply your results immediately. The balls are on the line.
I'm flabbergasted. So Daniel, for the last thing, how do our listeners can reach you, where they can find you?
Well, what I'm going to do, Mario, is I'm going to send an entry form over to you and they can complete the entry form online. And for the others who'd like to follow my journey, follow me on Facebook, Daniel Tolson, or drop over to my website, danieltolson.com.
Daniel, thank you very much for being our guest. Thank you for taking time today from your very busy schedule and sharing us the insights. And Darren and I, we're very, very grateful for being today with us.
My pleasure, Daniel. Anytime. Let's do it again.
Absolutely. Looking
indeed,
forward.
Indeed. Always love to have you on Business Insights with Mario and Darren.
You are listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Darren, with us in studio live from Taiwan, Daniel Tolson. And the interview on the podcast of this interview is going to be available on our website at live905.com.au and take you to 2.5 million listeners today. And our well-renowned business coach, Daniel Tolson, for being guest in studio with us. Till next week, stay well, stay safe.
Live 90.5.